I know it seems like such a little thing every Sunday, but Sue and Martha work together, and Sue writes this arrangement during our offertory. It doesn't ever seem like much, but I tell you, it takes a lot to do what Sue and them do. It's a blessing to hear those songs tie together the way they do, and it's powerful. Open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 11 this morning. Numbers chapter 11. We're going to jump around a little bit again this morning. Kind of warned you last week that we were going to do that. Terry, oh, there it is. I found it. Couldn't find my little remote. I had it up here, so I was going to have you run them. We've been taking a look the last few weeks at a few urban legends that have been passed down through the years. The first week I proved the existence of Bigfoot, if you were here. Didn't I? Right? Yeah? At least I know one person believed it, but that talked to me about it. But and we looked at an urban legend, a spiritual urban legend, that talked about how there were many roads to heaven. And we proved that that urban legend was false, that there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And last week I brought some pictures of my family's vacation at Lake Tenkiller, and I proved to you that the Loch Ness Monster was real. Had real live pictures of the Loch Ness Monster. The pictures were undeniable. And so we looked then at how there's an urban legend in the church that says that God's greatest desire is that we're happy, that God wants to make us happy in life. And we disproved that urban legend because really what God's after is not making us happy, but God is after making us what? Holy or blessed. That's right. Sherry Weaver says it loudly. Makareos is the Greek word we looked there. God wants us to be blessed. Today I've got a new urban legend to show you. Tell you, Catherine and I have had some amazing experiences. We've been hunting, as Catherine said. We're out hunting the other day. Look up in the sky and that's what we saw. Anybody see anything like that in the sky ever? James has. See? James does some hunting in Deerston. You spend time out there, you're going to see something like that. So we went closer. It was towards Stephenville. So we went closer and drove and drove and drove. And I don't know if you've heard of this. Anybody read about any of this on the news near Stephenville? A couple years ago, we were here then. This says 97. It's happened every year since in Stephenville. So we drove towards Stephenville, and sure enough, above the trees in Stephenville, there it was. I don't know what y'all are laughing at. This is serious. So we followed that dude as close as we could and took us down, you know, where the big cow is in Stephenville. I don't know. Y'all can make your own opinion, but I'm telling you, there it is, right there. We waited and out it came. Oh, that's a picture of my wife. That's the wrong one. Thin ice there. I'm in trouble now. All right. Enough fun. We're going to deal today with another urban legend. We're going to deal with a very common urban legend. Before we do, I want to ask you a question. I want you to just raise your hand. I'm curious. How many of you feel overwhelmed in life? Just stressed out, overwhelmed, busy. That's right. If we're honest, most of us do. Especially if you have children, you definitely do. You feel there's too much going on. You feel stressed. You feel busy. What's funny today, if you ask anybody, how are you doing? What's going on? How are you? Used to, the answer was, I'm good. That's what we say, right? I'm good. Everybody gives that generic answer. How are you today, Daniel? I'm good. And we go on with life. That means I'm good, but I'm too busy to talk to you, so I'm good. I'm good. That's just what we do. Generic. Nowadays, you ask people how they are, there's a new answer. Try it. I guarantee it, especially if you ask ladies, especially if you ask mothers, you will get a different answer. You'll say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. Oh, life's crazy. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. You get a whole different response today. Now, the answer that you get most of the time, even from me, I've noticed myself saying, when people say, Daniel, how are you? Oh, things are just crazy. Crazy as ever. That's how we answer now. It's almost changed to, I'm good, you're good, we're all just good, to life's crazy, it's busy, it's running from one thing to the other. That's the answer. We feel overwhelmed. If you feel like there's so much going on in your life that you just may not make it to tomorrow, if you feel like you're at the tipping point, then today's message, it's for you. It's going to speak to you. We're going to start off with the story of Moses in the Old Testament. Turn to Numbers 11. I hope you're already there. I thought it was appropriate that right after finishing Moses during Fall Festival, we go right back to Moses here. This is Moses during the wanderings. Moses 11 verse 13 is where, or Moses 11, Numbers 11 verse 13 is where we're going to start reading. We're going to jump to Exodus in a minute. It's the same story, just in a different text. Moses, in Numbers 11, he's wandering with the people, leading them through the wilderness, and they start to complain. Now, David acted this scene out pretty well for us out there. This is after that, but here they've complained to Moses. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're tired, nothing's going their way. And so Moses does what he's supposed to do. He takes his problem to God. He prays. And this is what's happening in verse 13, chapter 11. You can see Moses says to the Lord in verse 11, "Why have you been so hard on your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all this people on me?" Now, Moses is probably leading roughly 2 million people through the desert. He turns to God and says, "God, why have you laid this burden on me? Was it I who conceived all these people? Was it I who brought them forth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I alone," look at verse 14, "I alone am not able to carry all this people, because it is too burdensome for me. So if you're going to deal with thus with me, please kill me at once if I've found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." So Moses is so distraught. He's got this huge burden on his shoulders. Doesn't know what to do. And look how drastic he says. He says, "God, just kill me now. Just get it over with. God, just kill me now. Better you than them. Just kill me now." I want you to see, as we look at this, that verse, "The burden is too heavy for me. It's too much. I just can't go on. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it anymore." And here is this urban legend that we're going to prove or disprove today. Moses says, "The burden's too heavy for me to carry on my own." Now, what a good Christian response, or not a good one, a typical Christian response is, when someone says, "I just have too much on my shoulders, I don't know what I'm going to do, I can't make it anymore," some well-meaning Christian is going to come along and they're going to say this to you: "Oh, don't worry, it'll be okay. God will never give you what?" Have you ever said it? Have you ever had it said to you? Is it true? Or is it an urban legend? We'll see this morning. God will never give you more than you can handle. It's going to be all right. Don't give up. You can do it. You can make it. God will never, ever give you more than you can bear, more than you can handle. We've all heard it before. We'll see it on refrigerator magnets. You'll see it on bumper stickers, greeting cards, over and over again. Well-meaning Christians will say, "God will never give you more than you can handle." The problem is, Scripture never says that. Now, some of you are going, "Oh, I know a scripture that says that. I've heard it quoted before." 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Have it on the screen. I want you to see, because this is the verse that we get this from. "Who will not allow you to be" what? "Tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." What is this verse talking about? It's a little three-letter word. Starts with the letter S. Sin. God's never going to allow you to be tempted to sin beyond what you can bear. See, this verse, it makes perfect sense. Because we have to have a choice whether we sin or not. God leaves that up to us. He doesn't force us to sin. You're never, ever, ever in a circumstance that you say, "I had no choice but to sin." God makes sure of that in our lives. Because we can't be held responsible and judged for things that we're forced to do. Nobody can force you to sin. God always makes a way of escape. Now, does that say anything about trouble or burdens we carry in life? Absolutely not. We translate it that way over and over again. This isn't my text this morning. I just wanted to remove it from our minds so that we can see this is a total different topic God's talking about. He's talking about sin here. He's talking about temptations, not about carrying burdens in life. It's about sin. Because the truth is, when we're talking about the burdens in life, it's this: God will often allow you to have far more than you can handle on your own. Do you hear that? God will often give you way, way, way more of a burden than you can ever carry. Does that sound very encouraging? Does that sound very comforting when someone says, I'm just beat down, I don't think I can go another day? Oh, brother, don't worry. God's going to continue to give you just more than you can handle until it crushes you. Not quite as positive, is it? It's not the good, fluffy message that we always hear, but it's truth in Scripture. I'm going to show you that this morning. Why would he do this? Because he wants to teach us to depend on something besides ourselves. See, it's a spiritual myth. God will never give you more than you can handle. What that basically says is, you keep working at it. You try harder at it. You do more. You can do it. You hang in there. You. And the problem with that whole idea is, God, he doesn't give us more than we can bear. He wants us to let him bear it for us. That's the truth of Scripture. God all the time puts weight on us that we can't carry. He doesn't intend us to carry it. He intends us to let him carry it. We're going to see that. Three things. We're going to call this sermon the gift of too much. Because, see, sometimes we say, I've got so much going on in my life that I'm just cursed. Just a bad thing. It's just terrible. I've got to get rid of some things. And we're going to see that the gift of too much, it's a gift. God gives us too much that we can carry so that we can learn some very positive things in our spiritual walk with him. We're going to look at three of those things that the gift of too much teaches us this morning. First one, if you're taking notes, God's gift of too much, it teaches us to put some things down. Write that down. It teaches us to put some things down. So when you have so many options, the gift of too much, it teaches you to prioritize. Moses felt like this, and you can hear this panic in his words in Numbers 11:15. He says, if this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death. I can't take it anymore. Look what God says. Verse 16, the Lord says to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders. And I'm going to paraphrase it. And I will take the spirit that is on you, and I will put it on them. And they will... Look on the screen. Do I have that verse on the screen, Terry? I may or may not. Nope. Well, you can look at your Bibles. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not, notice what it says, carry it alone. Bring me the 70 elders of Israel. I'm going to put my spirit in them so that they will help you carry the burden so that you won't have to carry it alone. You see, we were never designed to carry a burden by ourselves. We were never designed to carry a burden on our own. God tells Moses, put the burden down, give it to someone else. You're not supposed to be doing it by yourself. You have to prioritize the things you have to do in your life. You have to put some things down. The gift of too much, it teaches us to prioritize. It's like going to a great buffet. My wife and I, a few weeks ago, I'm a shrimp fan. I love shrimp. We were getting food for Fall Festival. Had to go to Sam's Club and get all the hot dogs and all that. We go to Red Lobster. They have what's called the never-ending shrimp? Endless, thank you. Yeah, James's parents, of course, know. Endless shrimp, they're ready. James can eat. He and I talked about the shrimp feast there, but it's endless shrimp. You go and you sit down and they start you off with like three different kinds of shrimp. And every time you come, they'll say, do you want more? And I say, yes. And they say, do you want more? And I say, yes. But there's a strategy to it, a definite strategy, because what they bring you the first time is a big old bowl of salad this big, and it has 72,000 croutons in it, because that's their plan. And then they bring you cheese bread that's this big, and they'll bring you all that you want, and it's amazing. And then when you get your shrimp, they bring you a big pile of rice under each deal of shrimp, and they bring you a big pile of broccoli and potatoes. They have a plan, and their plan is shrimp cost a lot of money. Bread and potatoes and broccoli and rice don't cost a lot of money. So we'll give them all the salad and croutons that he can eat, and then we'll give him 10 shrimp and he'll be stuffed. Daniel is onto that strategy. I know better. If I'm going to pay $15 for shrimp, I'm going to eat $150 in shrimp. So I go and sit down, and I just set all that aside. See, you learn to prioritize is what it's called. You learn to leave some things on the plate. Like the rice, no thank you, and the broccoli, no thank you, and the lettuce, no thank you, and I ate one or two maybe garlic rolls, and I shouldn't have done that, but you say no, you leave some things on the plate. And so that day I ate 110 shrimp, and it was amazing, and my wife was embarrassed to be with me, but Samuel ate 30 shrimp. He was onto it. He's like, hey, I know how this works. Shrimp are amazing, but we enjoyed ourselves, and I enjoy eating. You can tell I can enjoy eating. They were good, but my point is, I had to learn to leave some things on the plate. See, that's what prioritizing is. I know we have a lot on our plate. All of us do. I know we all do. But we have to learn to put some things down, to leave some things on our plate. Jobs, kids, bills, exercise programs, sports, social clubs, houses to clean, meetings to go to, phone calls to make, shopping to do. We all have our plates and they're absolutely packed. But we have to learn to leave some things there. Just put them down. Leave some stuff on your plate. Here's what I think about. I'll just give you a story of my life. I have the daily blessing of too much. It's a blessing, and I know that. I have three children, and I'll tell you right now, they're way, way too much. In a good way. I love my kids, but they're way too much. Just to spend 30 minutes a day with them, just 30 minutes a day, is an hour and a half. And it can't be done on a schedule like that, and I don't have an hour and a half to spread. My wife every day says, oh, you ought to run on the treadmill 30 minutes. I ought to. You're right. I don't have 30 minutes. I don't have it in my day. It's absolutely wild. I've got like 200 people God's called me to pastor. 200 people God's called me to lead. And then we have this huge community that we have lost people in, and we're reaching and we're ministering to those people that aren't even in our church. And I'll never forget the time that I had my cable installed across the street when we first moved to Dillion, and a Catholic man came in, and I didn't know he was a Catholic. I'd never seen him in my life, and I didn't know where he went to church or anything. And I walk up and I'm visiting with him because I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe I can share the gospel with him and invite him to the church. And he says, oh, we're so glad you're our youth minister. You're finally in Dillion. So excited. And I said, oh, so all of a sudden I'm saying, I'm your youth. Take notes, James. Get ready for this. I'm about to drop a big bomb on you. So this guy says, you're our youth minister. It's so glad to meet you. And I said, oh, I didn't know you were a member over here. He said, no, I go to the Catholic church. What I didn't know then, I thought I came and this was my church that I ministered to. But what you learn out, you're a minister for the whole town. And you're a youth minister for the whole school. And you've learned that already, I know, because everybody depends on you when people die and there's weddings and there's hard times and their marriages are broken. And they come and they say, put my life back together, pastor. And you say, what's your name? And I've never seen you before in the church, but you do those things, and that's how it is. And I'm president of the Ministerial Alliance, and I'm in the executive board of our association. Three sermons a week, counseling appointments, get total strangers that come up and say, I'm on the brink of divorce. Will you meet with me 6 hours a day for 2 weeks and help me put back together? And on top of all that, I've got three kids in soccer games and kindergarten, and now we have all these school things that happen. Samuel was in the Halloween carnival, and we're getting dressed, and Catherine says, no, you have to be there, and somewhere around there, I'd like to go deer hunting a little bit, and it's busy, and I'm not bragging, and I'm not complaining, because I know that every one of you out there have a life just like me. You're just as crazy. It may be different stuff, but you're just as crazy, and you're just as stressed, and you're just as wore thin. We have to take our list and we have to learn to prioritize. It's one thing I'm working on as a pastor is learning to prioritize, because I've learned one thing pastoring a church. I can't do it all. Listen, church, you can't do it all. You can't. So you have to say these things are the most important. For right now you're hurting because you've got some too much going on. You need to let the Spirit of God speak to you the things that are most important, and you need to set some other things down. You'll leave some other things on your plate. Here's a real practical way to do that. Anybody know what a conjunction is? Name a conjunction. And, but, or, right? Y'all remember that song, Conjunction, Junction, What's Your Function? Yeah, that's the only time you'll ever get me to sing. You younger people probably don't remember it, but I remember it. And or. You've got to learn to say or instead of and. See, when we make lists, we say, I've got this to do, and 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 it's never ending. One way to prioritize your life is to look at some things that you have in your life and say, this or this. Not this and this. This or this. Which one? Because I can't do both. I'm not called to do both. I don't have time to do both. I don't have energy to do both. This or this. Which one? And you pray about it, and you say, God, speak to me. What needs to go and what needs to stay? There's too much. If I try to do it all, you're going to miss out on the most important things. You talk to someone that's 60 years old or 70 years old who poured their life into their career and watched their children just swing by on the outside of the house and they missed it, and they will tell you, I should have said or more and less. Don't make that mistake. Do it now. Got too much in your plate? Leave some things there. Let the Spirit of God lead you to the priorities. Learn to say or instead of and. Easy way to fix things. Thought number one, say it with me. The gift of too much, it teaches us to do what? Put some things down. Absolutely. Second thing it does, it teaches us to hand some things off. That's what Moses is going to do. Teaches us to delegate, to give some things away. Again, Moses in another time in Scripture, the guy like many of us, he was overwhelmed. And all these people from morning into evening, they wanted advice. They wanted counsel. They wanted him to judge and decide things, disputes between them. And as they brought their arguments to him, he was giving them counsel and direction. And his life was falling apart and their lives were falling apart. And Moses believed he could do it all. Exodus chapter 18. Turn there with me. Exodus chapter 18. Verse 17 is what we're going to read. So Moses has been doing all this judging and settling all these disputes, and he's stressed out and he doesn't know what to do. And in verse 17 of chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law comes to him, Jethro. Very wise man Jethro is. And Jethro says, Moses, the thing that you're doing is not good. I'm in verse 17. The thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me, I will give you counsel and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God and you bring the disputes to God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and work they are to do. Furthermore, listen to verse 21, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place these over them as leaders of the thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they will themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. See, Jethro comes and says, Moses, you've got to hand some of this off. Find able-bodied men. Find men of faith. Hand it off to them. Say, hey, I need help. I need you to help me. I need you to do this. Because Moses, what you're doing right now, it's not good. These people, find them men of integrity and have them oversee the big groups and just have them bring the big problems to you. You've got to hand some things off. I'm not good at this one. Man, I'm not good at this one. God's taught me a lot about this since we've been in Dillion. I remember a few years ago, it was wintertime. I drove by the church, and Saturday, there was ice all around the church. I don't believe I was pastor at the time, but Bill was outside at the front because we were having church the next day with a little snow shovel, and he was chipping away the ice so that we could get in the building. The entire building's covered, the entire sidewalk, the back of the sidewalk, and I pulled up and said, Bill, you're not going to be able to do this. And he said, well, we can't have church if we don't. So I grabbed the shovel and here we went. And Bill and I were working 2 or 3 hours out there just chipping ice, and we're cold and our noses are running and just miserable work. And Joe Burnett comes by. Remember, drives by in his truck and rolls down his window. Looks out and he says, Daniel, y'all need help? See, and sometimes when we need help, my problem is we're too proud to ask for it. And Treasure's shaking her head because she came up to me every week of youth ministry and said, Daniel, what do you need me to do? And I'd say, we got it, Treasure, we got it. And I was thankful she never believed me. Joe didn't believe me that day. Joe looked and said, okay, and he went home. And about 30 minutes later, we heard a rumble of a tractor coming. And Joe has a tractor with a scoop on the front of it and a blade on the back. And he pulled up, and what Bill and I had done in 2 hours, he did in 2 minutes. No more ice, all the way down to the cement. And I thought, what have we been doing? And I learned something. Don't do it yourself. Ask for help. Get other people. And in like 30 minutes, we had 10 men up here, and we were scraping ice, and we got to worship that Sunday morning because we all came together and did the work. Because I handed something off. And actually, that day, I felt terrible about it. Had a lot to do. After the 10 men were there, I worked for a while, and I went home, and I got ready for Sunday. Because I learned I can hand some things off. You can hand some things off in your life, church. You can find people to help. People that will divide that burden for you. The problem is sometimes we're so prideful we won't ask for help. It's the same way with Fall Festival. The very first year of Fall Festival. Catherine remembers it. There were like 3 of us up here, 4, and a bunch of youth. And it was miserable. And we worked till 3 or 4 in the morning every day. And I remember the second year, Sharon Robinette came up and she helped for a day and she said, who did this last year? And I'm not bragging. And Catherine was like, how did you do it all? Then we were like, we're nuts. I don't know what we were thinking. Because what we've learned is when we ask for help, we've had 50 people up here, 20 or 30 all week this week. Man, they just come in the morning. They beat me out of bed, which isn't hard to do. And they're here waiting for me. And we walk in the door and they say, what do you need, Daniel? Where are we working today? What are we doing? And we tell Joe we need rocks. And I would give Bruce little projects. And Sharon and Catherine, we had men up here. Men up here. I won't embarrass them. Paper macheing. Men, you better thank me later. I didn't call you out. Paper macheing, making rocks and painting. And we had all this help. And we didn't have to do as much because what we did is we handed some things off. And Terry noticed. She said, the only problem with that is the first year it was kind of big. But ever since then, the more help you get, the bigger Fall Festival gets. And so there's a truth there. See, Jethro comes to Moses and says, what you're doing, it isn't good for you, but it isn't even good for the people you're helping because you're so stressed out, you're not able to do a good job at what you're doing. You see, it's true. Fall Festival, it wasn't what it could be that first year because it was just a few of us. But we learned to hand things off. It got bigger and better. Better than it ever could have been. We learned to hand some things off in life. Put some things down. Hand some things off. Not just the physical pressures either. Spiritual things. Man, you're praying about something. You're having a hard time. You've got a son or a daughter, a child, a relative that's hurting, or something's going on at school or at your job. Or hand some things off. Hey, will you pray with this about me? Will you pray with this for me? Will you carry this to the Lord? Because I'm carrying this burden, and it's heavy, and I need to put some things down, and I need to hand some things off. And this is one of the things I'm just going to ask you to pray, to start carrying this burden with me. Man, set some things down. Hand some things off. And third, give all things to God. Give them to God. Just hand them to God. The challenge for so many of us is we want to believe that I can do it all. I can do it all. Especially if someone tells us you can't. You can't do it. Oh yeah, I can. I'm sore this week from Fall Festival because lots of men gathering around. We're moving rocks and there's one this big and we say, oh, you can't move that out of my way. And my back hurts still from it. We were changing the lights in the FLC and there's three scaffolding high I'll climb it. Pastor will climb it. I can do it because there's three men and we were all seeing who's tougher and who's braver or who's dumber. And I was the one. I won that competition. Climb up the tie, and I'm sore today from it because, we think we can do it. I can do it. I can do it. Out of my way. That tree won't fit through that door. Step back. That whole wall's coming down. Getting it in the church. Catherine wants a tumbleweed this big through a door this big. We can get it. Out of the way. Get James in there. Have him push on it. Something's got to give. That's what we did. And it worked, and we've got to repaint the whole back of the church because of it. But we got it done. We do that in life. We try to carry too much. And God says, if you just let go, I'll carry it for you. Why are you trying to carry all that? But we hold on to it because we think, God will never give me too much to bear, so I must be able to carry this. See how that philosophy, it ruins your life. It takes all your energy. It takes your joy. It absolutely stresses you out because you think, God, if you're going to pile it on me, it must be mine to carry. And I can do it. You wouldn't give it to me if not. And so we get this mentality that I can do it. I'm strong enough and I'm big enough and God must think I'm able. God doesn't think you're able. He knows you're not able. But He's able. You got to carry him to God. You got to give it to God and say, God, I can't do it. I can't. See, some people say God will never give you too much to break you. That's exactly what God wants to do. He wants to break you. Because when you're broken, that's what he wants his people to be, is broken. That way when we come to him, we're broken and we say, God, I'm broken. You're not. I'm broken and you're the only one that can fix it. I'm broken and you're the only one that can carry it. God, I'm going to need your help. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. A man named Paul, you don't have to turn there, he has a problem. He has what he called a thorn in his side. Not sure exactly what it was. He begged God three times to take it away. Chapter 12, verse 9, 2 Corinthians, this is what God says to him. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is perfected in your weakness. Isn't that good? My power is perfected in your weakness. Am I going to give you things too much to bear? Absolutely. Because my power is perfected in your weakness. My grace is enough for you. See, if God didn't give us things too much to bear, we wouldn't need his grace. We'd live life on our own and under our own strength. But God gives us thorns in the flesh so that we're pushed to his grace and we found the true strength. The power of God is perfected in our weakness. See, Satan wants you to believe that God won't give you more than you can handle. But it's an urban legend. It's a spiritual myth, because the truth is God often or always allows you to have more than you can handle. I used to think this. With everything in me, I used to think I have to be strong for my wife. I have to be strong for my kids. I have to be strong for you, the church that God's called me to lead. I have to be strong for our staff here. And I have to be strong for my friends. And I have to be strong for this community. And that's a lie, church. That's a lie. The truth is, I have to be weak. I have to be weak and I have to be broken. And I have to daily go before God and I have to say, you know what, God? I don't have the power. I don't have the strength. It's not in me. Thank you for giving me the gift of too much. Because what it teaches me to do is to fall on God. It teaches me to say, I'm not enough. But God, you are enough. Polycarp, incredible story. Read about him sometime. Led the church in Smyrna in 155 AD. Back when persecution was terrible, Christians were being hunted down. The enemies of Christ, they caught him. 86-year-old man. They'd been throwing all of them to the lions, but he was 86 years old, and they thought, what kind of show would that be to throw an 86-year-old man to lions? He wouldn't put up a fight, wouldn't be entertaining to watch. So they said, instead of that, let's do something more painful. Let's burn him at the stake. We'll kill him that way. They gave him a choice. They said, Polycarp, you deny Christ, and we'll let you live. All you have to do is say, Caesar is Lord. And Polycarp, he said the famous line, you may have heard it before. He said, 86 years Christ has been faithful to me. He's never done me any wrong. How could I deny and blaspheme the King that saved me? So they bound him, they built a big wood pile, and they soaked it with oil. They tied him to a stake in the center of it, and his friends, his loved ones, the fellow disciples that were around of Jesus, they were around, and they asked him as he was on the stake, how will we know that you're going to be okay? How will we know? We're afraid, we're scared. He had led them for a long time. And he said, when they burn me and I'm dying, God's grace will be sufficient for me. And I'll show you, as I'm burning, I'll raise my finger. And when you see my finger, you will know that God's grace is enough. You'll know that I'll be okay, because as I'm on fire, you'll see my finger raise. And you'll know that God's grace was enough. So they tied him to the stake and they put wood around him and they lit it. And the women were screaming and hiding their kids' faces. And the men of the group were trying to stay strong as they watched this 86-year-old faithful disciple of God burn at the stake. The smell of his burning flesh. And before he died, tradition says, Polycarp, he holds up one of his fingers. Holds up one of his fingers, smoke and flame all around him. And he says, his grace is enough. And the disciples looked around and they began to smile and they said, yes, God's grace is enough. And he burned on and he burned on and he burned on. And right before his death, he held up a second finger. And he says, God's grace is more than enough. It's more than enough. And he died. You see, you look at a man like that in a situation like that and you say, God doesn't give us too much to bear. Yeah, he does. He always gives us too much to bear. He doesn't want us to bear it, though. He wants it to lead us to him. And he wants us to give it to him. And he wants to carry it for us. See, church, we have to stop trying to be so strong and we have to learn to be weak. Does God give us more than we can handle? Absolutely. But God never gives us more than he can handle. Do you hear that? He never gives us more than he can handle. We just have to learn to take our burdens and say, God, here they are. I'm going to leave some of them down. They're not even important. I'm going to hand some of them off because, God, I know you've called able men and women to help me carry these things. And then, God, I'm going to lift everything in my life to you. I'm going to give you everything that I can because I know that your grace is enough. I know that you're strong enough. I'm going to rely on you, and I'm going to rely on your grace. That starts, church, with relying on God for your salvation. That starts with saying, God, my sin is too much. I've carried it too long. I don't know what to do with it. It's too much for me to bear. And your sin is, you can't carry sin in your life and make it to heaven. One sin is too much. But Jesus, he bore it for you. He said, give it to me. Let me carry it. And he carried it to a cross. And he said, come to me, you weak, and those that are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Put that yoke upon Christ's shoulders. Give him your sin this morning. If you don't know the Lord, relying on Christ, it starts with salvation. It stops by putting your faith in Jesus and saying, Jesus, take my sin. Take the burden that I've been carrying. If you've not made that decision, I'm going to step down front in just a second. Rocky's going to come and lead us in a song. And I just, I want to invite you. Come forward and say, Daniel, I just want to give my heart to Jesus this morning. I just want to give my sin. And I'm going to, in faith, see it nailed to the cross today. I don't want to carry it anymore. And church, if you're a believer in here today, don't turn me off. If you're a believer in here today, you're carrying too much. We all do. We carry too much. Give it to God today. Lay some things down. Find someone to help. Hand some things off. And give everything to God. He doesn't intend you to carry the weight. He intends to carry it for you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Father, thank you that while we're not strong enough, you are. The burdens that you give us in life, they're too much for us, but they're not too much for you. So, Father, without you, we confess we would crumble under the pressure. We would break. We would be lost. Father, but with you, your grace is enough. And I pray, Father, that every person in here today would find your grace, whether it be salvation in Jesus Christ or just grace to carry, Father, their family and their kids and their jobs and their church and all that you ask them to do, Father, that they would find your grace today as they hand their burdens to you. You're enough, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rocky comes. If you'll stand.